Right.
Our basic Bible doctrine series, we've been on the doctrine of the home, the family, considering a husband's responsibility, a wife's responsibility, and this afternoon we're going to begin here to talk a little bit about the responsibility of parents towards their children. And today we're going to talk about some parental accountability, and maybe spend a few weeks on this subject of raising children and what the Word of God has to teach concerning it, and try to remind ourselves again of the great responsibility that it is to, and the accountability we have to God to raise the children that God has given to us. Weighty, weighty responsibility. So let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that today, Lord, that You would give grace in approaching this subject. And Father, we always need Your grace for every day, Your enablement, Father, Your favor. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to see, as parents, the weighty responsibility that is ours, and the commitment and the character that we must have ourselves in order to effectively train and bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Father, I pray that this series of sermons and messages and would be encouraging to parents and challenging at the same time. And Father, I pray that You bless our homes and our families for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me first say, as we begin, number one, I claim no perfection when it comes to parenting and child training. And number two, I want to tell you, I have not arrived as a parent. There is no such thing as a perfect parent who has arrived. But I will tell you this. We have the best resources available to us that there ever could be on the subject of raising children to produce adjusted, respectful, obedient, productive children who turn into well-adjusted, respectful, productive adults in, Lord willing, in the future. And we have the best resources there ever could be. You know, you can gain some insight and you can gain some help with books that are written, but nothing ever replaces the Word of God. And we have God's Word, the instruction manual, the how-tos of parenting. And we have, along with that, if we will apply those how-tos, we have the promises of God, which cannot fail. And there's all kinds of promises that God has given to us in His Word. When it comes to this issue of raising children, I'm primarily speaking to parents here today. But prospective parents, you need to listen. You need to pay attention. And grandparents, you need to pay attention and listen as well. Because you can be a help and an encouragement to your children and to your grandchildren at the same time. The thing is, we have the best resources because we have God's Word. We have God's promise. But listen, secondly, thirdly, whatever you want to call it, we have God's grace. That is a factor that can never be replaced. God's divine enablement. And you know, the fact is, again, there's no perfect parent. And we fail sometimes when we know we should do better and we let down. But when we are conscientious and we are committed to applying Bible principles, God has a way of filling in those gaps for us because of our imperfections. And that's God's grace in our life. And so as we begin this series here, I want you parents to pay close attention. I want you to be around. I know some of the moms have to take their little babies out. You can't necessarily help that. But as much as you possibly can, be here and be engaged, all right, as we open up the Word of God. Let me start with this. God has entrusted you as a human parent with His creation of life. Let that thought sink in here for just a second. God has entrusted you as a parent, a human parent, with His creation of life. And the fact of the matter is, none of us would have our children if it were not for the will of God. Look with me over in Job 33. 3. We're going to talk here this afternoon. The first thing we're going to consider is parental accountability here. And what does that mean? Job chapter 33, and look with me in verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now, keep that in mind. The Spirit of God hath made me, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Skip over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. In verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. The fact that God has entrusted you with His creation and has entrusted me with His creation, it makes us accountable to God for this gift of life. The Spirit of God has made a person. The Almighty has given life, and children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. We like to claim ownership of our children, but the fact of the matter is they are only entrusted to us by God Himself. They are His creation. The Bible says that all souls are mine, saith the Lord. And because God has entrusted you and me with His creation, it makes us accountable to Him for this gift of life. God is a responsible creator. And God doesn't do anything by accident or without purpose. And so if God has created life in your children, that means that God has a plan and a purpose for His creation in your children. Children, according to Psalm 127, are the fruit of the womb. That physical result of human reproduction. But it also says that they are an heritage from the Lord. The source of a child's life is God Himself. And children are a physical product of the parents, but God is the source of every child's essence of life. This word heritage, children are heritage of the Lord. It means an inheritance, but it really means a possession. Children are a possession of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Are you with me here? In other words, your child is a gift from God, but it still belongs to Him, which makes us accountable to Him. Amen? Let me ask you this question here, parent. Have you ever asked yourself what your purpose was in having children? Did you actually consider how or why you would raise a family? Most think that a baby will make them feel good and a baby will make them complete. And the reason they want to have a baby is because it'll make them feel completed or better. That's the wrong reason, parent. It's a selfish motive. It's a selfish reason. What was your purpose in having children? Other people think of their children as accidents. Oh, well, that was an accident. Didn't expect that. Sometimes that does happen. But that thinking of, they're an accident, or that leads, listen, it's the same mentality and the same thinking that leads people to having abortions, because that accident does it crimps my style or interrupts my lifestyle, which is also selfishness. Either way, a lot of parents are ill prepared for the great responsibility that it is before God to raise children. And most in our world today, they've never even discovered the purpose for their own existence, let alone their child's. And so they find themselves as parents without either planning or purpose for their children. But see, after a while, once those children are around, parents begin to envision, how is this child going to turn out when they're grown? They want their children to be productive. They want their children to, you know, to be a blessing. They hope that their children will become well-adjusted, you know, educated, balanced, moral people. However, very little thought is given to how you're going to guide them in attaining those kinds of results. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen all by itself. And listen, parenting is not a this is the tendency that we have, but it's not something that we can let down on at any moment. But it's so easy to do. To start getting into the groove and just going with the flow and starting to neglect maybe things, listen, maybe things that once we were a bit more charactered on, we've kind of let slip. We need to understand this and see this perspective right here. God has a plan and a purpose for your child. He has entrusted that child or those children into your care. And each child is a life from God that is placed in a specific family for a specific purpose and plan. I believe that with all my heart. God has set children under their parents' control. Listen, for approximately a quarter of their life. It's relatively short, but that relatively short time has such heavy, heavy, heavy consequences. Children are dependent upon their parents, and God has ordained it this way for an extensive training period. But this training time is not just physical. It's not just behavior correction and behavior modification. This training, listen, is the training of the soul in preparation for when God speaks to that soul, because it's His. Therefore, parents are accountable to God to train their child's soul according to God's standards and according to God's plan. We're accountable, parents, to God, first and foremost, for His creation. Does that help provide a little bit of weightiness and understanding that our children are not there? Listen, they're not there for our enjoyment. They can bring a lot of joy. And they should bring a lot of joy into the home. But it's not about you. It's about God. Number one, the Bible teaches us that children are to be trained by their parents. Not by anybody else. Not by a daycare. Not by a television set. But by their parents. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Children are to be trained by their parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells," and so on. And he gets down to the end of that verse, and he says, "which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." We, in the context here, verse 6 says these words. Well, we have to go back and find out what words those are. But the words basically are the commands of God. The word of God, the command of God. These words, he says, "which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And what are you supposed to do with them? You're supposed to teach them to your children. Why? Not just for the moment, not just for the time being, but for future generations. Teach them to your children. What are we supposed to be training? What are we supposed to be teaching? We're supposed to be teaching God's word. We're supposed to be training God's commands. When are we supposed to be doing this? When are we supposed to be doing it to the teaching and the training? According to these verses, at all times, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit down, when you're in your house, when you're walking by the way, parents are always to be teaching and training their children in the things of God. Are you? What are you teaching and training your children? Because the fact is, you're teaching all the time. You're training something all the time. They are learning from you all the time. What example are you setting? What are they gleaning from you about the importance of God and faithfulness to God and commitment to God and love for God and the things of God and obedience to God? What are they learning from you, parent? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's a heavy thought, and I'm putting great emphasis on it because we're accountable to God first and foremost, parents. Because they belong to Him. They don't belong to us. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's a father's responsibility to bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22, 6 says, if we train up our children in the way they should go, when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. To train them. If you, as a parent, really desire the best for your children, it's going to be in your heart, parent, to be as consistent as you possibly can to this command of training your children. But training requires that you teach them. You cannot teach what you don't know and observe and practice yourself. You cannot teach the things of God if you don't know and observe the things of God yourself. Because the teaching that you give needs to be accepted by the child. But a child, they know. They know whether or not it's genuine in your heart. They know whether or not you really love God with all of your heart. They know if you're a hypocrite or not. And that teaching is not going to be accepted, and that instruction is not going to be accepted if it's not real in you first. A child must receive your instruction, but he must first honor your position of authority as parent. The Bible not only teaches that parents are to train their children, but the Bible teaches us that children are to honor both their father and their mother. That honor, though, largely depends on you as a parent. Look with me in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We know this obviously as one of the Ten Commandments. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon this earth. This word honor is a Hebrew word that means to revere. It means to have great respect for someone. Children are commanded to honor both their father and their mother. And then parents are to receive from their children respect due their position. But again, much of that depends on you as a parent. many parents may not consider themselves worthy of honor, but they still hold the God-given position to rule over their children. And a father and a mother, neither a father or a mother, should ever allow disrespect to be shown towards them in their home. Because, parent, you have the right to rule because God gave you that responsibility as a parent. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, or that you're awesome. But God has made you the parent. As a parent, you hold the key to authority, and you must train and teach and instill that honor into your children. And God holds every parent accountable for how he or she trains and teaches what he has entrusted to them. Let me talk for just a few minutes about some practical applications of instilling and teaching and training honor into our children. First of all, as a parent, you have the advantage. Number one, because you're way bigger than your kids. They think you're humongous. But we have a built-in benefit and a head start in gaining our children's respect for effective training because of the fact that they are dependent upon us. They are dependent upon us, and that automatically gives you that position of authority. But listen, if it's not taught, if honor and respect is not taught and maintained, their little sin nature is going to take over, and you're going to lose a lot of ground that is automatically just given to you. So we have this responsibility to teach and to train, but that training needs to be accepted. But that training will not be accepted if we don't first instill in them the fact that they are to honor and to obey their parents. Parents can instill this concept and truth of honor or respect for them as their parents in several different practical areas of life. This is all about training these little ones. For example, as a parent, you should always require your children to speak respectfully to you and to others who are older than them. You should never, ever allow disrespect in your home. Listen, especially little Johnny to mama. Dad, you've got to be the watchdog on this. Never should you let your children disrespect their mother in the way that they talk to them. Sometimes that little attitude, you know, mom says, hey, I want you to go do this. And it's like, oh, mom. Or they get this little look on their face of defiance and so on. And dad, you got to be the watchdog. You see that attitude, you see that facial expression, and boom, you need to be on it. You do not talk to your mother that way. And if I hear this again, any kind of attitude out of you again, the hammer's coming down. It only takes once or twice of consistency in that where the kids get it, they understand it. You don't get away with disrespecting your mother. You need to instill that into your children. You know, mom says, hey, I want you to come with me. And mom reaches out to grab, and there's like, the pulling away. Nuh-uh. And it's easy to sit there and be like, yeah. It's a lot different to be really consistent at it. You got to be a watchdog. You got to be on top of it all the time. You know, we're real busy. All of us really are. Dad, you're into your, you know, study, you're into your book, you're into whatever, your job, your business, your whatever you're doing, you're into this. And you hear in the background, mom's trying to deal with the kids. And she's just frustrated because there's little attitudes and little this and little that. And she needs help. And here's dad who sits there on his computer or whatever he's doing, just ignoring what's going on in the other room. You can't do that and expect to train into your children godliness and character and respect and honor. Dad, you better set aside whatever you're doing, and you need to get up and you need to go deal with that situation. You hear a little disrespect in the tone talking to mom, you better be all over that. even from the other room. Don't let them do it. Make them speak respectfully to you, to your wife, to others in authority. Here's another practical thing that is instruction for children that helps train in them respect and honor. You ought to require your kids to use good manners. Plain and simple. And I don't apologize for this at all. You ought to make your kids say please. You ought to make your kids say thank you. Please, before they ever get anything. Thank you when they get something. If they don't want something, you say no thank you. You say excuse me. Don't let them talk with their mouth full of food. Don't let them chew with their mouth open. And start talking and holding conversations with food flying out the sides of their mouth. Don't let them do it. Why? Oh, well, that's not a big deal. You're just making a big deal out of it. No, I'm not. You know why? Because it's part of having respect for other people. I don't know too many people who love to sit across from somebody who is talking with their mouth full of food, looking at all the stuff going on inside of their mouth. It's gross. It's part of having respect for other people. You need to teach it to your children. There's a lot of other things. For example, you ought to make your kids say things like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, or yes, daddy, yes, mommy. And acknowledge you as their authority. I don't make my kids say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. But we do make our children always acknowledge us. If I give a command, hey, Maddie, I want you to go and do this. I want you to go take the dogs outside right now and hook them up. I make them say, yes, Daddy, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's respectful. Number two, I know for a fact that she heard what I said. Now there's no excuses. Because if she doesn't do it, when I told her to do it, I know that she doesn't have the excuse of, well, I didn't hear what you said. Not that she talks like that. So now I know if she didn't do it, it's disobedience. And I can deal with it appropriately. And this is part of training and teaching our children. Mom says, hey, I want you to go and do this. It's time for bed. I want you to get your pajamas on. Yes, mommy. If I don't hear this, I say and remind my girls, what are you supposed to say? Yes, mommy. And they go do it. Because they're already walking to go do it. But I still want to hear the acknowledgement. Understand what I'm saying here? It's teaching them respect. It's teaching them and training into them a respect for their authority and obedience. And these kinds of things need to be taught and required in our children. Listen, as early as they can understand them, even before they can even talk, these things need to be trained and instilled into our children. For example, kids are smart. Kids know a whole lot more than often we think they do or we give them credit for. When our children were very, very young, as babies, we always made our girls say please before we gave them whatever they wanted. Whatever they were needing, even before they could talk, even before they could use words, we made them communicate to us what they wanted. What my wife did was she taught our girls sign language, at least the word please in sign language. And even though our girls couldn't necessarily vocalize or speak the word, they understood what it meant. All too often, though, here's what happens. Kids rule the house. Kids rule mom. And the kids, they want something, so they're like, eh. And mom just figures out what the eh means. And so the kid actually trains mom to go get whatever the kid wants and bring it to mom, instead of mom training the children, no. You say, please. And I want you, and if they can talk, you make them use words. My wife was deaf on this. She said, no, you use your words. And before our kids could ever even talk, she taught them this sign language, please. So they would want something, and we would say please first, and they learned, please. Okay, now you can have what you want. Our children were able to communicate with us. We were able to communicate with them. And before they could ever even talk, we're starting to train into them some discipline, some character, and some respect. And it was quite comical at times because Maddie, one time, we were talking about this the other night. One time there was something she really wanted. And I don't remember exactly what it was. It was food of some sort, I think. I'm pretty sure something sweet that she really wanted. And you could tell how much she wanted it because here it was. And Maddie knew she was supposed to say please first. So here's Maddie. Please, 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 please. Before we ever even said anything. And you know what? It's there. It's in her head. It's working. You understand? The training is actually being effective and it's working. We ought to require our children to say please and thank you and no thank you and excuse me and may I and all of those kinds of things because they're good manners and it begins to train their character and form their character. We ought to require our children, listen, to respond when spoken to or look at whoever is speaking to them. Here's an example. We had to work on mostly Jovi, but I think Maddie too, maybe, on this one. You know, you come into church and you got the little girl, she's all dressed up, she's all super nice and cute and so on, and people are like, oh, hi, how you doing? And because they haven't had such a good morning, maybe they didn't sleep very good the night before, whatever, they're kind of in a mood. Maybe they're just kind of grumpy when they wake up. I've heard recently that some of you are like that. In the morning when you wake up, you're really grumpy. Anyway, the tendency, I'm not going to name names, but the tendency is for the little one, because of their little self-will, their little sin nature, you know, oh, hi, how are you? You look so pretty today. Don't let your kids do that. All that does is foster that selfishness that is already inside of them. And some parents have the attitude like, well, I'm not going to make my kid do that. Remember, you're accountable to God for training their soul and training their character. You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You don't have to train them how to be selfish. That naturally is built into them. But you've got to train it out of them. And what we always did on purpose was make our girls, for the sake of being respectful to other people, we made them acknowledge and respond at least a little bit to the person who's talking to them. Even if they're not happy. It doesn't really matter if you're happy or not. You're going to say hi. Why? Because I'm trying to train their character. Trying to train respect. And it takes a little bit. You know, initially, we walk in and someone says, oh, hi, how are you? You look so sweet. Mm-mm. Hey, you need to say hi. All right, let's go. And we go deal with it. And then I come back. And I said, somebody has something they need to say to you. You need to say hi. Oh, I guess we didn't get that figured out. Let's go. And we go back and we deal with it again. And then we come back to the person and say, somebody has something to say something to you. Say hi. Hi. Through tears and so on. Now, if you ever catch my kids not saying hi to you, come tell me. We'll go deal with it. It doesn't take very long. And they know, even if I don't feel like it, I need to say hi. Well, you're just mean. You're just cruel. No, I'm not. I'm trying to train their character for their soul's sake. Because the fact of the matter is, listen, there's a lot of things I don't want to do. There's a lot of things you don't want to do, right? Lots. But that doesn't excuse you from the fact that you have to do them. This is part of training. Their little character. Another practical thing that happens frequently in homes is, you know, Johnny or Susie or who, not Susie, sorry, Susie. Martha. You know, there's something that they want. And they're in the other room, or mom's in a different room, and here's what they do. Mom! Mom! I said, Mom! You ever heard of that? Ever seen kids do that? Don't let them get away with it. Here's what I would say. No, you want something? You get up and you go talk to her. You come talk to me. I am not your slave. I am not your servant. You want to talk to me? You come ask me. You come talk to me nicely. I don't let my girls do that. To the best of my ability, I don't let them do that. Not to me or to my wife. It's disrespectful. But all too often, parents let the kids run the house, and the kids are the ones who are really in control, and mom and dad are the ones who are being trained rather than the children. Here's another thing you ought to be mindful of and watch out for. Don't let your children interrupt your conversations. You know, you're standing at church and have a conversation with someone, and the little one comes up and they're like, you know, Mom, 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 Dad, Dad. What he ought to do, and what we've tried to do with our kids, is number one, acknowledge him. Hey, I'm having a conversation. You stand there and you wait. When I'm done, I'll get back to you. Because it's disrespectful and it's rude. And it only props up and builds their little selfish tendencies and their little selfish nature to get what they want when they want it. You know, so you're standing there having a conversation. It's like, Dad, 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 pull on your pants. You know, just a second, son. You wait till I'm done. And then make them stand there calmly and wait for you. It's good for him. It's good for his character. It's teaching. It's training. And lots of other things. And for the sake of time, we don't have much time to consider many more. But you know, parents, we always need to be on the ball. Always need to be watching. Always need to be parenting. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to be teaching and training the things of God at all times. When we rise up, when we sit down, when we go to bed, when we're in our house, when we're talking all the time, we need to be on the ball watching our children. It's real easy to kind of just check out because I'm busy having a conversation, you know, over here or talking about what I want to talk about and completely clueless as to what's happening with our children. We need to watch what they're doing. Watch where they're going. You know, when we're in a place like church, don't let your kids rush through the door in front of other people. Watch out for Mrs. Adams and other people like that, because it's respectful. And these are things that are helpful, everyday type things that are helping to train their character. When you have small children, don't allow those small children to playfully hit you as a parent. Ultimately, that teaches disrespect. Oh, it's so cute. No, it's not. It teaches disrespect. And eventually, that little attitude, that little selfish nature is going to become an all-out challenge to your parental authority when they're older. Requiring respect from a small child is the beginning of teaching and training our children to honor their parents. And to the extent that we are, as parents, acting maturely throughout their childhood, that is going to help keep that respect. I mean, if we are acting selfishly ourselves, maybe we're breaking the same standards that we're trying to teach, or we're breaking promises, or we lie to them, or they see us fighting with our spouse all of the time, and we tell them that they're not supposed to fight with each other, etc., etc. If they hear bad words coming out of your mouth, if they see you as a parent that habitually losing your temper, listen, all of that stuff, it confuses the children tremendously. And it begins to create rebellion in their heart. And eventually, parents are going to lose the respect that they could have so easily maintained. We need to understand, parents, that how we live our lives will affect how our children will respect us in their teen years and later on. However, that being said, and maybe this is directed more towards children, parents are to receive honor, at least for their position, at all times. Even if they've tarnished a child's respect, it still can be gained again by a parent who is committed to applying Bible principles. I remember when I was young, honestly, folks, my dad wasn't saved until I was 14. And I remember when I was young, hating my dad. God saved his soul when I was 14, and I remember seeing a drastic change in my father. So over the next handful of years, throughout my teen years, up until the point that I was saved at 19 years old, my respect for my father completely turned around because I saw him change, and I saw him trying to make up for lost time, for the mistakes that he had made. And by God's grace, listen, he gained respect out of me, even as an unsaved person, because he was committed. And what I'm saying, even if a parent has made some mistakes, maybe tarnished that respect, it can be gained again by consistency and by God's grace. After I was saved, my dad's and my relationship continued to grow. My dad was my best friend. That's the kind of relationship you want to have with your children when they're grown, when they're old. But that only comes about by consistent and diligent, hard work when they're young, right now. Let me encourage you with this, parents. We're accountable to God for training of their soul. We're accountable to instill character and respect in them, and so much more. Next week, we're going to talk about the authority of parents and the need for training and obedience. Later on, we'll talk about disciplining God's way and so on. There's all of these areas that are so weighty, so important. And we need, first of all, to understand, though, our children are not there for our enjoyment. They're entrusted to us by God. We're accountable to God for how we train them. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd encourage and strengthen parents and for a home to function like you've intended. Parents need to be doing their jobs, number one, towards each other. A husband leading his wife and strengthening and encouraging her and loving her. A wife submitting to her husband, encouraging him, and then parents together on the same page, working diligently to train and instill godly principles into their children's lives. And no one is perfect at any part of it. But we have the instructions on the how-tos, and we have the promises of God, and we have the grace of God at our disposal. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be conscientious, determined, diligent parents with our children. Not to look at them selfishly as they belong to me or they're there for my enjoyment. But rather they are on loan from God. They belong to Him. He's entrusted them to me for the training of their soul. Father, may we see the weighty responsibility that is ours. And then fall on our knees asking for God's grace and God's help to do what we cannot possibly do on our own. Bless these families. And may these parents be determined to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.